Take your Bible and go to 1 Thessalonians this morning. We are in the third message of this series on the church. We've been looking at the owner of the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. We looked at the head of the church. He is the head of the body. And today we come to look at the marks of the model church. The model church. How we should look right here. 1 Thessalonians, we'll begin reading in verse number 1 and read the first 10 verses of this book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus, which is another name for Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, His choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became, here's our word for the morning, an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The church at Thessalonica is the example. It is the model, just like we should be. For the word of the Lord is sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report what kind of a reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and a true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. The church at Thessalonica, it is a model church. It was an example, not a perfect church, but a model for others to look at. It was founded in Acts 17. Paul is on his second missionary journey. He's making his way across to Troas. He comes to the Aegean, and he God won't let him leave. And then he hears this cry from across the ocean, across the sea. There's one standing saying, come over and help us. We call it the Macedonian cry. And Paul leaves and goes to Philippi, winds up in jail, preaching the gospel. The earthquake comes, the jailer's saved. From there he leaves and makes his way to Acts 17 to Thessalonica. He preaches, the Bible says, three Sabbaths. It was his custom to preach the gospel on the Saturday, the Sabbath. He would go to the synagogue. And there God birthed a church in Thessalonica. If you travel there today, the signpost will say Thessaloniki, named after the daughter of one of the emperors. Thessalonica comes from her name. And there in that town, God raised up a church. And Paul says it was a model church. He wrote back. It's probably his second epistle. Probably Galatians is first. We are not dead sure of that. But probably Galatians is first. Then the letter to Thessalonica, to the Thessalonian church. Letter 1 and then letter 2. And he writes to them to encourage them and exhort them as a model church. Olive, listen to me. Our church will never be a perfect church, but we are a model church, and we are to model the gospel to this community. Just simply by size, many people look at us, and they will say, well, what are they doing about that, or how are they doing it? Doesn't mean they will do it, but they want to know, and there is a model that is there, and people look. We're not perfect. We're not even the template. The Word of God's the template, but eyes look at others, and we are to model. We dare not give a bad message to the world or other churches. So what marked the Thessalonian church should mark us. And I want to show you this. This is a perfect sermon because it's got 7 points. Amen. All right? But it's imperfect because it's got one preacher. Who happens to be me, all right? But there's 7 marks I want you to see very quickly with me this morning. All right, so let's jump right in. I want you to see the 7 marks. Number one, it was a saved. It was a saved church. Verse number one says, Paul, Silas, Timothy to the church of Thessalonica that's in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were in Christ. Paul went to Thessalonica in Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, and according as it was his custom, he went to them for 3 Sabbaths, reasoning with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that Christ had to suffer, rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I'm proclaiming to you is the what? Christ. He's the Christ. And verse 4 says that there were many there that were persuaded and they came to faith in Christ. Just in 3 weeks, revival broke out. God did a work. Just like God saved in Thessalonica, He'll save in Pensacola tonight. He'll save this afternoon. He'll save this morning. Whenever you would come to Him, He would save you. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you an opportunity right in the middle of this sermon to get saved. The saved church. You ought to be listen to me. You can be a member of this church and go to hell. On Thursday of this week, I preached the funeral for Darlene Pinson, my dear and sweet friend. 14 years she led the children's ministry here. She wrote out her funeral just how she wanted. She's who's going to speak, who's going to sing, who's going to preach, who's going to do this. She put everything together just like she wanted it. She told the people she's going to give a testimony how long they had. They asked her when she wrote that, so how long's the preacher got? Long as he wants. I said, amen, what a member. She wrote out her testimony so I would have it. I'd never read it before. Darlene, when she was 10 years old, she sat on the back row of a little church in Lyme, Mississippi, and she sat there, and the preacher one Sunday got up to give the invitation, and she was sitting by her friend, and her friend looked at her and said, I'll go if you'll go. And she said, well, I'll go if you'll go. Okay, we'll go together. I'll go if you'll go. And so they walked down the aisle, just playing a game. Preacher shook their hand, had them sit down on the front row, filled out a card, ran them through the baptistry. She said they never told us we were lost. They never told us about the gospel. They never explained Jesus to us. They didn't tell us anything. She said, all that happened to me is I joined that church. Fast forward 12 years, her brother died. She was 22. She said, I wondered if I would go to heaven where he was because I had never prayed a prayer. I'd never asked Jesus. She said, I'd been in the church. I'd given to the church. I worked in the church. I would sing in the church. I was a part of the church. I did everything in the church. She said, I was all of it except saved. And she said, when I was 22 years old, she said, I came and knelt and said, oh, Lord Jesus, save my soul. Friend, can you take me to a place and tell me of a time where you got saved? If you've never been saved, you ought to get saved right now. Amen. I don't mean at the end of the sermon. You ought to get saved right now. You ought to come right. You ought to walk right down here and let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. You need to come right here. So if you're not saved, John's starting to sing right now. And while he sings, I'm going to move down. If you've never been saved, just get up out of your seat, cross that balcony, wherever you are. Just get up wherever you are and come. Just come. Anybody need to be saved this morning? Point number one. Anybody need to be saved? Waiting on you. Say, it's my day. My day. I just want to make sure we cross that T and dot that I this morning. Everybody got it? All right, if you're saved, turn and tell your neighbor when you got saved. If you're saved, turn and tell your neighbor right now. Put your mask on if you need to. This is when I got saved. Okay? Anybody here without a testimony and needs one? Just get up and come. Just get up and come. Get up and come. All right? Everybody got it?
Got it.
Okay? Good? I'm telling you, friend, God loves you. Our deacons wept over you this morning. Anybody need to come? Amen. Hey, Frank.
Sing this. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Thank you, John. Thessalonica was a saved church. Now you listen to me. Regenerate membership. It's what every church needs to have preached to it. Not joining up. You don't join the church like you join a club and give you dues. You come to Christ and get redeemed. That's why we call it regenerate membership. Everybody that's in the church ought to be saved. Doesn't mean everybody that's in the church is. But you're supposed to be. So the first thing about Thessalonica is that they were a saved church. Saved church. Number two, they were a steadfast, steadfast church. Look right here in the text. In verse number 3, the Bible says, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. What that means is you never quit. The kind of church you ought to be is one that never stops. Even if you have COVID behind criticism or conflict, you never quit. Steadfast in faith, in hope, in love, in your work, in your labor. Stay by the stuff. Why anybody can quit? A lot of athletic teams, their goal is to make the other team quit. And as soon as they make you quit, they've won. You lay down, they run over you. I tell you, church, we lay down, this world will run over us. We dare do nothing that would make the world say, ah, they quit. Steadfast, persistent. In faith, hope, and love. They were a saved church. They were a steadfast church. Number three, they were a spirit-filled church. Oh, yeah. Notice verse number 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and full conviction. Listen to me. You're not just supposed to be saved. Then you're sanctified, and the Spirit of God's in you and works out His salvation. You got to be all in. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled. Filled with the Spirit. Now, some of you get worried when I talk about fullness of the Spirit. You're afraid you're going to have to do something crazy. Some people say, well, you know, you get filled with the Spirit, you jump over a bench. Let me tell you, spirit fullness is not jumping over a bench. It's how you walk when you hit the ground. It's love, joy, peace, gentleness. Yeah. I'm not against jumping. But I'm against walking crooked. The Spirit of God is more than emotion, though that's involved. There's sometimes you'll shout, glory to God, amen. We ought to get happy. That little girl came right here, just told her granddaddy, when he asked her in the back, she looked at him and said, granddaddy, I want to go get saved today. And Ainsley told her granddaddy, and her granddaddy brought her, and everybody started leading her to the Lord. That ought to make some Baptist shout. Amen. Amen. She just missed hell made heaven. That's the business we're in. And the Spirit of God moves. I had a guy visit with me this week, came by. We were talking about 3 or 4 other things, and he said, you know, Pastor, and if I called his name, 90% of the people in here know his name. He said, you know, one of the best things you and your church ever did was call that prayer meeting downtown at the Civic Center. He said, I never go anywhere that I don't hear about that. He said, people talk to me about that. I said, well, you know, it's probably high time we did that again. It really is, that we gathered up the church and called down the glory of God to pray. And I remember, though, we were getting ready for that. We had a deacon's meeting. We were leading out along with Pace Assembly. I remember one of our deacons raised his hand. He said, what do we do, Pastor, if we're down there praying and some of the people from the other church start falling down? I said, well, help them up. Amen. Hey, we have differences. That's why we have varied denominations in our world today, because they're idiosyncrasy. But we're going to heaven with them. So we ought to learn to live and get along. Study the Word of God together. Shout together. Pray together. Be together. The church at Thessalonica was a model because it was a saved church. It's a steadfast church. It's a spirit-filled church. Number four, it was a surrendered church. Look at verse number six. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. They had surrendered unto the Lord. They wanted to be like the Lord. It's not important you're like somebody else in this room. You are to be like unto the Lord. It's not out here now, but it was the other day, and it'll come back. We have a big ebony-colored grand piano, and we roll it out here. We don't have room for it because of all this other stuff. And so when things are back, we'll bring the grand piano back out here. I asked John about it, and he said, well, you know, Pastor, every time you move it, it gets a little out of tune. I've never tuned a piano. I paid to have one tuned, but I've never tuned it. Do you know when you tune a piano, you do not tune it to other pianos, you tune it to a tuning fork. Your job is not to be like the other people in these pews, your job is to be like Jesus. You don't surrender to me, you surrender to Him. That's what the church at Thessalonica was about. They had surrendered to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we ought to be. We find what Jesus says, that's who we are. We see that in Christ, we're like Him. And it's a surrendered heart to His Lordship. They were a saved church. Amen. Steadfast, spirit-filled, surrendered. Number five, they were a suffering church. Verse 6 says, in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians, if you turn one page, chapter 2, look at verses 14 and 15. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but they're hostile to all men. It happened in Acts 17. The Jews came against Jason. Jason was the one who allowed Paul and Silas to stay with him. They came to find him. They came in a mob mentality and attacked him and drug him out, the Bible says in Acts 17. So where are they? Where are these men that have turned the world upside down? They accused Jason. They brought a mob against Jason. They drug him out. Friend, we live in a world that is turning against the truth of God. You better get ready to stand. There'll come a time when this old world comes against the church. Let me tell you, if you can't read Dr. Seuss, it won't be long you can't read this. All right? Been reading Dr. Seuss since I was just a little bitty. As a matter of fact, most Christmases my kids give me something from Dr. Seuss. I got every book he ever wrote. I mean, I got to do that long. Come to my house, I'll let you read them all. We get them out and read them to the granddaughters. Cat in the Hat. Let me tell you, bless God, if I ran the zoo, this world would be different. But that's another story for another time. You don't run it, and I don't run it. All right. We're in a zoo, but we don't run the zoo. That's why I've put together what we call the Matthew 22 Committee in our church. Render unto Caesar that that's Caesar's, and unto God that that's God's. And we're going to figure out. I mean, we've already had people wanting stuff about our tax roll from government. I read that document when I was studying American history. There's a separation. And friend, if you think it's not coming, we got to learn to stand. Stand. You don't stand like a devil. You stand and with the joy of the Holy Spirit. If they kill you, you just shout glory going to heaven. Amen. Amen. You got a promotion. You read what they did to the church in Nazi Germany. Some of them died, but others didn't. And they told that story for years. It's called The Hiding Place. You ought to read that book. Hear that lady tell that story. Of how the grace and goodness and glory of God worked in their heart. Don't turn away thinking the suffering church is not a blessed church. Number six, it was a soul-winning church. We ought to be a soul-winning church. Amen. Verses 8 and 9, look at it. For the word of the Lord is sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia, that was to the north, Achaia in the south, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. The word of the Lord sounded like a trumpet, sounded forth. Verse number 9, for they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and a true God. How do you become a soul-winning church? You do it two ways. Number one, you do it with words. You do it with works. You do it with works. You do it with words. First of all, you do it with words, like a trumpet blast sounding forth. All right, how many of you believe Jesus rose from the dead on Easter? Say amen.
Amen.
So if you believe that, how many of you have, don't say amen. How many have talked to one person since January 1st, year 2021? You talked to one person about their soul salvation. Now, let me tell you, I'm just going to tell you, I don't think you believe in the resurrection if you hadn't brought it up in the first quarter of the year. And it's just, you got to tell it. You don't have to win them. That's the Lord's job. But you got to bear witness with your word. And then with your works. Your works. I've had people, I've gotten mail about we shouldn't be giving the vaccine in the church. And, you know, I didn't get much of that. Most people just say amen. I was walking around my circle where I walk. There's an elderly gentleman over there. He's not a believer. Matter of fact, he's told me he's an atheist. He walked out the other morning, doesn't say very much, and he's a pastor. I said, yes. He said, I just want to thank you for opening your church so I could get both my vaccines. He said, I'm grateful to you for what you did. Thank you for that. But a witness by works. You did. We did that. See, sometimes it's your words, sometimes it's your works. But you got to make sure those things match up. So you got a consistent witness and become a soul winning church. That's a business we're in. That little girl that went and got saved, that's a business we're in. If you've never trusted Him, we're in the business of winning you to faith in Christ. We should be a herald, a trumpet, with words and then with our hands of works as we share the gospel. It's a saved church, it's a steadfast church. Yes, amen, a spirit-filled church, a surrendered church, sometimes a suffering church, always a soul-winning church. But number seven, lastly, the Thessalonian church was a second-coming church. Look at verse number 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, amen, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. When you read the book of 1 Thessalonians, you hear over and over and over again, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. When you read the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, you read, we do not have you to be ignorant, brethren, about those who are asleep, for this Jesus who came, he will one day come again. There will be a trumpet, a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we that are alive and remain to be caught up together with them in the clouds, ever to be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Then when you turn to the fifth chapter, that's in the fourth chapter, when you go to the fifth chapter, he said the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. You ever been robbed? I have. We hadn't been here a year. People broke in our house. Do you know they did not call us before they came? They didn't call and say, we're coming. They came like a thief in the night. We showed up and the stuff was gone. Jesus is going to come that quick. Yeah, he's coming. You know, I don't think we hear enough preaching about this. And the reason I think is because we've become so satisfied and blessed and fat and happy in this world, we don't have enough eyes for the next side. But he's coming. Next thing happened, be rapture. Day's coming. Trumpet shout, and he's coming. He come before I finish. Amen. Graves open, people in here that's saved, be gone. People that's not saved, be sitting here wondering what just happened. Let me tell you, next Sunday the house will be full. Some of y'all will be preaching. I won't be available. I have a previous appointment. You say, is that real? You read this book. I'm telling you, he's coming. The Latin word is rapia, rapture. Shoo! To snatch. If you had a godly mama, you know what that word is. You've been snatched before, amen? It's because the Lord's coming to get us. Boom! And we'll be with him. Following that comes 7 years of tribulation. The megalophilipsis is the Greek. Hey, megala. That's great. Philipsis, tribulation. We all got tribulation now, but I'm telling you, when the Hey Magala comes, that's a great tribulation. I won't be here for that.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all walking through. Get ready, buddy. It's going to get tough. Following that, it's the second coming of the Lord. I'm coming back with him. We'll come. Set up rule and reign for 1,000 years. Then the new heaven, new earth. You can't see it this morning, but it's up in the top of that window. You see the new Jerusalem. It's up at the top, and it's coming down. It's coming down. It's coming down. And a model church is a second coming church. It preaches that Jesus is coming again. And let me tell you, he's on the way. He's coming. I've had more people in the last 2 years say, boy, it must be getting close. Must be getting close. You don't know. Nobody knows the time. Only the Father knows the time. But you're to be ready any... Are you ready right now? If he's to come right now? Friend, if you're not ready, you ought to get ready.
That's right.
I mean, you ought to get ready today. Say, how do I get ready? Call on the name of the Lord. Surrender your life. Give him your all. You say, well, what if he doesn't come? Then you live another day. and you live for Him with works and words and share the gospel and try to gather up everybody you know to go with you. My wife and I were out for dinner, having lunch, and sweet girl. I asked Liz, I said, how old do you think she is? We were guessing about college age. Well, she was great. I'd hire her here. I mean, she's a working machine. We began to talk to her, found out she's from Central Florida, just moved up here to go to school, prospect for our college group. My wife looked at me. She don't have to say a word. It's like, get that $100 bill out of your pocket. You know? Go over in the God pocket. So when she came, I told her, I said, I work for an older man that gives me money that I can bless people with. And so I gave her that, and she said, I'll be right with the change. I said, no. And so we tipped her that money. And she just stopped. And that's when I got out of the way. My wife steps in, got a gospel tract, lady to lady. She said, I'm coming to that church. I don't know if she came today or if she's here. I don't know. She may never come. Might just lied and took my money. That's fine. I'm not accountable for that. I tell you all the time, I'm in sales, not management. I mean, that's the Lord's deal. And we tried to bear witness unto her because the Lord is coming again, and that little girl is going to stand. The Bible says that we will all, every one of us, will stand in the judgment and give an account for everything we've done, whether it's good or bad, saved and lost. But you're going to stand there. And you ought to come prepare. You say, preacher, I didn't want much good to get. The righteousness of Jesus covers a multitude of your sin. Amen. It's good news. It's gospel unless you are ill prepared. Man, I'm looking forward to heaven. The older I get, the more I look forward to it. Amen. It'll be good, won't it? Amen. We got family over there. Yeah. I've stood up here with so many now. I know we got folks over yonder. Isn't that right, buddy? We got people over. We talked about it last night over dinner. We got people on the other side. Amen, Barry? Yeah. We got loved ones on the other side. Amen? Yes, sir. I'm just pointing out men and women, as we buried their spouse, and they're on the other side. I'm looking forward to seeing my daddy again. Yeah, my granddaddy, my Uncle Joe, the greatest encourager I ever had in my life. And other people looked at me and said, you're stupid for being a preacher. He put his arm around me and said, son, you can do it. You can do it. God will give you grace to do it. He'd rub me on the head. He said, you can do it. He died and I preached. Had that big heart attack. Just 63. Boom. You got anybody on the other side? The Bible says, listen. The Bible says heaven is a place. It's more real than this building. It's for real. The Bible also says that hell is a place. And it's for real. And it's torment. And it's hot. There's the divide. Right here's the divide. Some are on the right, going to heaven. Some are on the left, going to hell. Which side are you on? The call of God's in this place today. We already had one invitation. That little girl came. Somebody else ought to come today and join this church. You ought to put your life here. You ought to join it. You ought to come say, I want to be a part of Olive today. I'm going to make this my place. Amen. We receive you. Hey, listen to me, church, and we're going to give an invitation. John, you here? There you are. 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to have the greatest meeting this church ever had as far as a business session. We're going to vote to do some stuff we have never done before. Our deacons will deal with it Thursday night. Some of our lay leaders dealt with it last week. If all goes well, we'll roll that out on the 20th. I'll tell you what it is as soon as it's formalized. Going to be good, isn't it, Brother Steve? Amen. It's good stuff. You ought to come and be a part of this place. Because we're perfect. Goodness, no. Long as John's a minister of music, we're far. And this guy that works alongside of him, man, it's really bad when you get... That's the orchestra guy. And, you know, it just keeps on. There's none righteous. We're not talking about being perfect. We're talking about being redeemed. Family, together. Oh, you ought to put your heart and life with us today. You ought to be a part of the church. We're not even doing all we ought to do, but we're about to do some stuff we've never done before. Oh, it's going to be a great night. I don't want you to miss it. The following Sunday after that will be Easter. And the Friday night before Easter, we're going to have the Lord's Supper out in the back parking lot. I want you to come. We'll take the cup and the bread. And we'll remember what Jesus has done. But today, I want you to get ready for the coming of the King. In just a moment, John's going to start singing. You're in that balcony. It's going to take you a moment. Just get up, coming down that side. Here across this ground, just come stand right here with me. We'll get somebody to go with you just like we did at Lainsley. You can say yes to Jesus today. Some of you, like Miss Darlene, you did something religious, but you've never known righteousness. You ought to come. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. Let him come. We're on our feet all over this room, confessing to the Lord to find rest in him. Come on, unto him. Come stand right here with me just now. Unto the Lord, unto his church, unto the cross. Amen.